Sovereign Christ, Bible Fellowship Church of Columbus, Indiana, is pleased to present to you the marrow of the message. We continue our series on Philippians, the Epistle of Joy, and Paul is certainly giving us much to be rejoicing over in the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we want to look at verses 12 through 16. It's part two of our mini-series on Onward to Jesus, the goal of our sanctification. And Christ is our goal. And Paul makes that perfectly clear in verses 12 through 16. Paul writes, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." All of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. This section of Scripture is beautiful because Paul has already shown us that Christ is the most glorious, most excellent person that there is to know. He is our reward. And it's important for us to think about that as Christians, that when we think about our reward is not stuff. Our reward is Christ, who is the maker of all things. He is the Lord of heaven and earth, the sovereign. And Paul, if you remember early in Philippians chapter 3, Paul was very exercised over the fact that after he had come through Philippi, shortly after that, the Judaizers came through, and Paul was dealing with two groups of people, one being the Judaizers, as we saw, that they were taking confidence in the flesh. According to Paul, they were insisting that one must be circumcised in order for them to have a righteousness that God would accept. They were keyed in on a self-righteousness, and they truly discredited Christ in doing so. Any time that we think that we can add to righteousness, the righteousness that God has provided in Christ Jesus, we offend God and His gospel. We offend the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our righteousness. And so these Judaizers were those people that were holding on to law, keeping to the law to attain a righteousness. The very thing that Paul is exercised about is that they are saying Christ plus something else. Now, on the other hand, and Paul's kind of dealing with this throughout the rest of the passage from about verse 12 through 21, the antinomians, those people that were using their freedom in Christ to live however they pleased. And in fact, they were showing that they were not regenerate, or they were at least ignorant of the truth of the gospel, and that they were finding that Christ had perfected everything for them. Therefore, they could go about living immorally and ignoring the commands of God and living according to the flesh, living according to their appetites. Paul doesn't find middle ground. He takes us to a different way of life, something outside of ourselves, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. To not hold on to the law and not hold on to lawlessness, but to hold on to Jesus Christ. He says, "I press on to take hold of Him, of that for which He took hold of me," and that is more of the knowledge of the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in our text, in chapter 3 in Philippians, Paul has been describing his conversion, and even now we see a subsequent sanctification. That is that he is growing, and his growing is propelling him more toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's pointing out for our encouragement that even he, the great apostle, was not perfect. This is important for us to keep this in mind, because so often we elevate certain saints and we say, "Oh, they've arrived. It's one thing if we acknowledge that, we recognize that, we say so-and-so is a spiritual person. They have really matured, they have grown up, and I admire them. It's a whole other thing when that particular individual may be the one that would say, I have arrived, I have grown up. Certainly the Philippian church admired Paul, and rightly so. I think we all should. But Paul here is testifying regarding the knowledge he has of himself that he is not perfect, but even though he knows he falls short of the glory of God, he presses on to take hold of Christ. Christ has finished the work. The work of justification is accomplished. His position before God in Christ is sound and will not change. He is set apart for God. But he knows practically in this life, experientially, he falls far short. Remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 7 at the end of his declaration that the very things he doesn't want to do, that's the very things he finds himself doing. He's pointing out, I know I'm not mature. And he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall save me from this body of death? He recognizes the body and blood of Christ and the perfection in Christ and his righteousness. He says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. And so he breathes a sigh of relief, but it's that very truth that Christ has provided all that is needed as far as standing before God. Eternal security is found in Christ alone. And yet that very knowledge, rather than causing him to say, then I can do whatever I want, I'll live how I want, he says, I want to know Christ better. I want to know God better through Jesus Christ. I want to behold the glory of God in Christ Jesus. We're challenged to grow. If God plants the seed, and if you claim that you've been born again, then God has put in you his seed, which will grow. He's given you a new heart and a new mind. You're a new creature in Christ, and what he plants will grow. And the Holy Spirit will see to it. Remember Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, when Paul wrote, he who began a good work in you will see it through to completion. Well, let's see how Paul describes his sanctification. Let's look back at verse 12. He says, not that I've already obtained all this. It's mine, but it's not mine. It's mine positionally. It's mine kept in heaven, but I've not obtained all this. That is the power of the resurrection at work completely, perfectly in his life. He knows it because he still stumbles and falls. He knows he's not sharing in the fellowship of Christ's sufferings perfectly. Only Christ perfected the sufferings, but Christ, Paul is following after him. And he says, I've not obtained all this yet, but I press on. I haven't been made perfect yet, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. And I believe that is that we would know God through Christ. He says, verse 13, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. He says twice, basically, I haven't done it yet. I haven't arrived. But listen to this, but one thing I do. Let's take pause on that very phrase right there, that statement, but one thing I do. But one thing. What's the one thing that you would say you do? When I think about that, I would say, well, there's so many things I do. I do so many things. I have many different hats. I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a pastor, I'm a painter, I have friends, I have activities, I do so many things. If you ask the Apostle Paul, what are the things that you do? What hats do you wear? He would say very much the same thing. He would say, I'm an apostle called by God. I'm a minister of the gospel. I'm a tent maker. I have companions and friends I travel with, I fellowship with. I have all these things, and I can't even imagine all the different hats that Paul wore, but it boiled down to this. But this one thing I do, Paul was so focused. He was concentrating on the very thing that mattered most, and that is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He could say, this one thing I do, but one thing I do. What is the one thing? Now remember, his goal is Christ, and he's focused on Christ. He says, but this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward toward what is ahead. The one thing is not the forgetting and the straining. The one thing is Christ. But in order to pursue Christ, in order to hold fast to Him, in order to take hold of Him, fully gripping Him, he knows it's essential to forget what is behind and strain toward what is ahead. Make forward progress. So often we think it's incumbent upon us to stop dwelling on the past. Paul would say, you know what, that's right. But he's telling us, stop dwelling on the past, start thinking of the future, and in fact, plan for it. Move forward to the future. Now, Paul's future had one person in mind, and that is Jesus Christ. So it's not like he said, let's strain forward and have new things to do. Wear more hats, more activities. He said, in order for me to take hold of Christ, I need to forget about past achievements. If you look back at chapter 3 at the very beginning, he reminds us of all his attainments and his achievements, the various hats he wore, his successes, and the fact that he had privilege as a Pharisee and so on. And he said, those things are rubbish. They're nothing. They're worthless. They're garbage. They're excrement compared to knowing Christ. And he said, I'm not even going to bring my past accomplishments or attainments into the equation. They are gone and they're past, and I sure am not going to glory in them. A lot of us have a past that we want to forget, but so often it's brought up, it's dredged up, and we're reminded of past failures. We're reminded of our past identity, how we identified ourselves, especially when perhaps we first came to the faith. We were so ashamed of how we had lived and so ashamed of the life we lived and the things that we had done, but that was somehow part of our identity. And Paul says, forgetting what is behind, but he adds that word straining toward what is ahead. Because it's important for us to understand that forgetting what is behind requires us straining, moving away from it. I just imagine hands or chains or something, people grabbing onto. I think of a running back in football where you have a tackler that's just grabbed on around their ankle, and that football player strains forward to get one more yard, keeping his eye on the goal, the touchdown. That straining forward is in hopes that perhaps I can break away and move toward the goal line and score. And Paul says, forgetting what is behind, and that is to recognize that all our sin, all our past sin, even our past attainments and our successes, which were for many of us an idol of sorts, he says they are under the Bible tells us those all are under the blood of Jesus Christ. The old is gone and the new has come. And Paul says, I strain toward what is ahead. This is essential when it comes to our sanctification, because many of us stay back in the past. We live according to our identity and what we imagined ourselves, what we actually were at one time. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We were under the condemnation of God. And not only so, but perhaps we were under the condemnation of other people. We felt the scorn and the rebuke of others. The life we lived that we were ashamed of was who we thought we were. And oftentimes, many of you may think it's who you are today, but Paul says, straining forward toward what is ahead, toward the prize. What is ahead? And he says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize. This is good for us to think about, because so often we think it ought to be easy. It ought to be easy to put the past behind us. And on one hand, it is if we just keep one goal in mind. Paul said, this one thing I do. His life was centered on Jesus Christ. He was passionate about knowing Christ. Why? Because remember one thing he said about his past somewhere along the line. He said, I am ashamed. I persecuted the church. And you know what that means? In his past, Paul killed people. Paul put people in prison. Paul had spoken falsehood against believers. Paul had discredited the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, at least made every effort to do so, to find him to be fraudulent. There's no greater sin than to bring false charges against the Lord Jesus Christ, to which Paul would say, I'm guilty and I am ashamed of that. And he said, but I press on now that I see who Jesus is and he has given me a new heart and a new mind. I press on to take hold of him. But to do that, I have to forget what is behind. How am I going to do it? I'm going to strain toward what is ahead. And it's going to be tiring at times, and it's going to require work. Sanctification is not easy, and think about it. All our sanctification, our growing up, is that we might behold the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and how Paul describes this Christian life, and perhaps next week when we go into verses 20 and 21, Lord willing, we will look at these verses a little bit more from a different angle. But look at chapter 5 and beginning, say, at verse 2. Paul says, meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. There's always that sense that there's something more. God has something more for us, and that is that we would receive a new body, like Christ's glorious body. Paul gloried in the fact that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ means resurrection for his people that he came to save. And because of this, he says, we look forward to this, but look how he describes it. As we look forward to what is ahead, we groan. We want to be clothed. We were made, the new heart and the new minds meant to be clothed in righteousness. And hates this flesh. Sanctification is that moving toward perfection where one day we will finally be perfected in Christ Jesus. We'll receive a new body like his glorious body. We will be clothed. The spiritual is not intended to just float around in outer space somewhere in thin air. Even the spirits that Jesus cast out long to be clothed in something. And some of them chose to be driven into swine. They wanted to be clothed into swine. But how much more righteousness wants to be clothed in righteousness and be done with this flesh? And Paul says, in the meantime, we groan because when we're clothed, we'll not be found naked. While we're in this tent, that is, these bodies, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed in our heavenly dwelling. This straining forward Paul talks about in chapter 3 is a straining that will have with it groaning. That sense of wretchedness, that sense of brokenness, that sense of neediness. And oh, friends, if you find that you have no sense of brokenness or neediness, call out to the Lord and plead with him. Warm my heart toward you, because I tell you, the more that you see him, the more that you know him, the more you pursue after him, the more aware of your neediness of him, the more your heart will warm toward him and your desires will be greater for him. This is the life that God has called us in Christ to, that we might know him. Ephesians chapter 4 speaks about putting on and putting off. He says, put off and put on. Peter called it this, to take off the robes, take off the old garments and put on the new. Colossians speaks about the putting off and putting on as well, because it is our participation. This sanctification that we experience in this life, this moving forward, requires us to participate. Isn't that different than the antinomians? Those that were lawless, those that said we've been found righteous in Christ Jesus, therefore we can do whatever we want. What they wanted to do was give way to the flesh in everything, to live according to the carnal desires of this world and of the flesh and of the devil. And Paul's saying, no, we strain, we groan, we press on, we put off the old, we put on the new, we get rid of these garments that are stained with sin's stain. And you know, the descriptive words he uses does indicate that clearly we participate with God, the Holy Spirit, in our sanctification. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. He reminds us of what's right. He teaches us all things. Christ ministers to us, moving us on the upward way. that we would press onward, that we would press forward, that we would desire Christ Jesus to know, I'll say it like this, to know God through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 15 says, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear. I think what he's saying here is, not all of you are at this point where you are pursuing Christ with every ounce of your strength, with all your might. But he's saying, those that are mature, and he's not talking about those that would pat themselves on the back and say, I know I've arrived, but those who truly have grown down in humility. He says, you can agree with me on this. Christ is our single passion. Christ must be our single purpose in life, our single goal in our moving forward. And he says, but some of you don't think like that. He said, but I'm confident of this. God will make it clear to you. And then he adds this. He said, only let us live up to what we have already attained. We expect infants to act like infants. We expect toddlers to act like toddlers. They're living up to what they've attained. We expect young adults to behave as young adults. And we expect adults to behave as adults. What we would say, good adult behavior. Live up to what you have attained. It is abnormal for an adult to behave like a baby, to throw a tantrum on the floor like a toddler might would do. But in the Church of Jesus Christ, there are those that are in infant stage. There are those who are in the toddler stage of their walk with Christ. Live up to what you've attained. Oh, look at the brightness of the smile of an 8 or 9 year old who just is full of life. Live up to that. You know, I think that even a mature adult ought to take such view of things like that. Jesus said, unless you become like little children, you have no part in me. So maybe he's talking about this maturity is a humble growing down, trusting in the Lord with all our heart and soul and mind. And growing up in this way is a beautiful thing, for here's the goal. We look and sound and act more like Christ as we are sanctified. May the Lord bless you and keep you.